Hey friends, thanks for tuning back into the Live with Audacity podcast. You're listening to episode number 41. Today is an interesting episode because my guest and I cover two completely different subjects. I got to have fellow insurance agent Lacey Kramer here. If you didn't know, I was a personal lines insurance agent before I started this podcast and launched my coaching business. But I have known Lacey from the insurance world for so many years, but the more important subject we get to talk about is her daughter, Cohen, her congenital heart defects, and her two open heart surgeries. We get to dive into what that meant for her family in the last year and what it means for them moving forward. And she has a lot of advice for those parents also facing some scary things with their babies. So let's dive in. Listening to the Live with Audacity podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Stewart. Audacity is defined by Merriam-Webster as intrepid boldness or disregard for normal constraints. And that's exactly what we have here. The Live with Audacity podcast is aimed at giving you the courage to explore your someday dreams, do things your way, and start making things happen in your life right now. I'm a mama to four kiddos, ranging from college student to kindergartner, wife to a high school football and track coach, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Together with my guests, we're going to teach you how to live with audacity and intentionality, discover and utilize your unique skills and talents, and step into who you are meant to be in order to make your someday dreams a reality. Are you ready? Here we go. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning back into the Live with Audacity podcast. I'm so excited to have Lacey Kramer here today. We are talking about all the things. Lacey, thank you so much for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hi.
Okay, so Lacey and I actually know each other because Lacey's still an insurance agent, and I used to be an insurance agent. And so that's kind of how we connected. Of course, we have tons of mutual friends because we're from the same town. And honestly, Lacey, following your journey through insurance and deciding to start your own insurance agency, and also all of the things with baby Cohen, your daughter who was born with a heart condition. It's been really fun and emotional to follow your journey. And I want to talk about all of those things. So let's start with insurance. Tell us a little bit about how you got into insurance and how you finally decided to start your own agency.
I kind of fell into insurance. My grandmother has owned an insurance agency since 1990. After she raised her two kids, she worked in insurance and she purchased an insurance agency in Richmond or Rosenberg in 1990 and then turned it into Grayless Insurance Agency. I started working there in high school and then I worked for an agency in college in Bryan, Texas. And then after college, I kind of, I guess, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so I fell into the gap.
Kind of how insurance happens.
Yeah, I really like it. It's all I know. As you know, as far as a career goes, it's all I've ever done. Well, I was a lifeguard, but all I really know is insurance and I love it. I worked there for a really long time. And one day I just said, you know, especially after Cohen, I had to do something different to pay the bills because where I was at just was not cutting it at all. And I said, you know what, I can do this on my own. No one really, you know, I don't really have any, I guess, support, if you will, other than my husband. And my mom has, you know, definitely, you know, led me in the right direction and just, you know, you can do it, you can do it. It was really hard. Opening an insurance agency is not easy. There's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. It's a lot. But if you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you just pursue, even when people tell you no, you know, I don't take no very well.
I know
that someone
true.
Does tell me no, I find a way to get a yes because everything's possible. You just have to keep focusing on it. And honestly, I left my prior employment November 4th, I believe, 2019. And I really didn't know what I was going to do, to be honest. I just knew that it was not healthy for me. I just wasn't happy with what I was doing. And I knew something better was out there for me. So I left. My husband was supportive. You know, I cried about it. I prayed about it. More crying than praying. And that's my fault. but it took me probably 2 days to decide what I wanted to do. And I did. I was up pretty much endless for 2 weeks straight. Probably another unhealthy thing that I've done in my life, but hey, whatever. and I, you know, I did what I needed to do, and which was a lot. And I started probably just like kind of a soft opening for what I'm doing in December. And I really started, you know, I got all of my appointments finally settled after January 1st. It's really hard to get appointments from carriers to be an independent insurance agent. They basically don't care. You know, to me, I would think, why would you not want someone to sell your product? But you have to sell yourself first before they even consider appointing you. So I worked really hard to be sure that I have, you know, the best carriers out there for my clients. Being in the industry is the only thing that helped me. If I were to have been a newbie at this, you know, I don't know where I would be. You know, the only thing that helped me in this was that I have prior experience. But, you know, I knew what I wanted to do. And typically when I know what I want to do, I get it done. You know, it wasn't easy. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, but I had to do it for my family and for myself because I was really unhappy. Looking back at the last few years, you know, between I got a divorce, I got remarried, thankfully. My husband is amazing, but I was really lost for a long time, and my career was probably half the problem. I just wasn't happy. Nobody's fault. I just wasn't happy. But now I'm doing really well. The agency is off to a wonderful start. I don't know if rebranding helped me. I never really sold Grayless Insurance. I always just sold myself. No reason for that. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I think that helped me as well in getting my new agency going.
Yeah. You know, I actually really want to touch on, I think a lot of people don't understand how hard it is to get appointments and start your own insurance agency. I think people really truly think that you can just say, I want to have an insurance agency, and you just contact these carriers and say, I want to sell your insurance, and it's cool. But like you said, it's so much harder than that.
It's very stressful. I had to put together a business plan, which took a while, but I got it done. One of the many sleepless nights I had, that's what I did. It took a few days, many rough drafts, but I got it done. That is a major selling point for someone that wants to open an agency, have a business plan. If you need a copy, you can definitely look at mine. It helped me. It really did help me. I feel like that is one of the things that sold me. I had my first territory manager met me at my new office, and he told me no. He sat in front of me and he said no. And I looked at him and I said, well, that's your worst mistake. And we talked a little further about me, and I really had to sell myself, but by the end of our conversation, he had told me yes.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really hard day for me. You know, I did well with it, obviously, and here we are. And another thing with opening an agency, I thought, hey, you know, I'll be able to stay home with the girls a little more. I can just do this out of the house. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You must have an office space for LexisNexis. They are, it's a company that runs reports for clients, and they are very strict, which is, it's all really silly to me because insurance agents are very mobile. I can work at home. I can work in my car. I can work wherever I want as long as I have my laptop. And that's what every agent does. But LexisNexis, no. You must be in your office with a locked door. It was pretty ridiculous.
They're so weird about it just because, you know, we have so much personal information for people. And so it's very, very touchy.
But back to the LexisNexis thing, I've opened my office. I love it. I'm so glad I did. I didn't want to. I wanted to be at home. I couldn't get anything done at home. You know, truth be told, I can't focus, not with two kids. It's impossible. So totally. I'm really glad I got my office. I love it. It's homey. No one really comes here, but that's okay. You know, I'm here. So as long as I can come to a fresh, clean space every day and, you know, I like it. That's kind of what pumps me up and gets my day going.
Yeah.
And
that's
getting
awesome.
Away from the house is amazing.
Yes.
I suggest every mom do it.
You know, actually I was telling, my group of, entrepreneur friends, I was like, man, I think I really realized if I'm not recording the podcast, cause obviously I can't do that really anywhere else. It's too loud. But, if I'm not recording the podcast, I need to be out at somewhere like Chick-fil-A or, you know, a coffee shop or wherever, because I just get so sucked in and I don't take a break and I don't eat and I, you know, just sit it for too long. And I feel so blue at the end of the day.
If you're at home.
Yeah, totally. Just because it just feels so, it's so easy. It's so comfortable. It's too comfortable.
I'm the opposite. If I'm home, I am always doing something. My husband always makes fun of me because I never sit down, ever.
If I'm working, if I'm working, I'm like so into the work
job.
That
I'm not doing
anything else. So let's talk a little bit about Baby Cohen now and tell us a little bit about that story and how you handled all of that.
I didn't handle it. God did. First thing.
Yeah.
I was just there. I had to be. I'm her mom. When she was diagnosed, I was 20 weeks pregnant, and they actually, it was at our 20 week ultrasound. And they said, you know, hey, we think something's wrong. Can't tell you what. It's definitely her heart. Don't know the rest. So, but you have to wait all of Thanksgiving week and then come back to Texas Children's next week and we will further diagnose her. So my husband and I, all of Thanksgiving, it was in 2018, we were sick to our stomachs and finally got her official diagnosis I guess it was early December, maybe mid-December. I really don't even remember the date. And we handled it with, you know, support of our family and friends. My sister-in-law really, really, really stepped up and helped us through the financial aspect of things. She and some of my closest friends and family hosted a benefit for Cohen here where we live. And honestly, you know, if it weren't for that, I'm not really sure where my husband and I would be financially. Clearly, I started my own agency to be a little better financially. You know, nobody works for free. So, you know, I will say that opening this agency, the financial side of it played a big role in my decision. But if it weren't for that benefit, it would just be bad all around. So, you know, we didn't have to focus on financials when Cohen was going through what she was going through.
Yeah. I'll just say real fast that I have been to lots of benefits. That thing was packed literally to the door with people, and we showed up late. So I can't even imagine how many people had already left by then. It was incredible. It was totally incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very
helpful. How much
helpful.
Did y'all raise?
$100,000, maybe like $106,000.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You know, the thing that is helpful is that every year, you know, this isn't temporary. You know, her condition is lifelong. Her condition is until her heart is, you know, just can't do it anymore, you know, which hopefully is never, or it might be tomorrow. You know, we just don't know. She has another surgery planned for next year or the year after. She's not supposed to go back to the doctor, her cardiologist, until April, but I changed it to, it's actually, I think February 17th. She's really big. So most heart babies are, I guess, malnourished, for lack of a better term. They're just really little. They don't grow as well. I mean, because their heart is not functioning the way it's supposed to. Right. Cohen is massive. She is the 95th percentile on everything.
She's so big. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's really big. And I just sometimes her feet turn purple, or the bottom of her legs will be turning colors. This is new, probably about 2 weeks. And I don't think it's really anything. I think it's just she might be a bit overweight. But I'd rather her get checked out, and I want to be safe, obviously. And so we're going back to the doctor a little earlier than we should. But this is the thing, and I actually just did it yesterday. I had to pay her deductible prior to even being seen by the doctor, because that's what Texas Children's requires. You can pay in full and get a discount, or you have to get put on an installment plan. And my husband woke up this morning after I already explained this to him yesterday, and he said, I was just wondering, why did they charge us for all of this already? We haven't even gone to the doctor. And I was like, Matt, because were you not here yesterday when I was having this conversation? Like, that's their requirements. That is what they require. You must pay prior to being seen when your deductible resets. So, every year we have the deductible battle. We have really good insurance, thankfully. My husband's a farmer, and we've been very blessed with being put on a like a group insurance plan. Unfortunately, the land my husband farms has sold. So, being a farmer is not forever, especially in Fort Bend County. It's really unfortunate. So I'm not really sure what we're going to be doing next when it comes to her insurance, but there's so many things that people don't really know when it comes to having a baby that is not healthy. I guess you could say, there's so much more to it, that the money is endless. The bills are just, they pile up. It's an everyday thing for the rest of their life. Insurance is the scariest part of it. But if it were not for that benefit, I do not know where my husband and I would be. I mean, I don't know how people do it. It's really scary. But that really, really helped me through the process, was knowing, hey, look, God's got her battle. God's got my battle. The community had our financial battle. And we'll probably run out of that money before too long. I mean, to be quite honest. So,
yeah,
I feel for people when something like this happens and they're in a financial bind, but I have to say that that was our biggest blessing, because we did not have to worry about money. And I just, I really thank everyone that contributed to that, because like I said, I don't know what I would have done. But, we made it through by the grace of God, and we had so many supportive people, even people I don't know. And I still feel horrible. I go into public, and I'm sure there are people that were really there for my husband and I during this time, and I don't even know them. So I don't say hi, or, I'm in awe at the people that came together to help us. It was truly amazing.
That's so great. So tell me, what is Cohen's official diagnosis?
There are a lot of things to it. To put it in simple, she doesn't have her right ventricle. So you have obviously a left and right side of your heart. There's four chambers. Your right atrium is above your right ventricle. Right ventricle is at the bottom. When her heart was forming, there's a valve called the tricuspid valve in between your right atrium and right ventricle. That valve did not form. When that valve didn't form, it kind of messed up a lot. You have a pulmonary artery in your heart as well. The valve in her pulmonary artery didn't form. Basically, it was just like a sheet of muscle or tissue that never formed properly. So therefore, her right ventricle was not able to grow the way it needed to. So therefore the blood didn't flow the way it needed to keep her alive. The two surgeries she's had so far has helped that. The surgery basically just provides your heart means to function for the rest of your body, between your lungs and, you know, for the longest, she didn't have much pressure on the upper half of her body. And then she had her second surgery, which is called the Glenn. And that kind of changed her blood flow. And it's really complicated.
Hearts are complicated.
Yeah, she's got her official diagnosis is called pulmonary atresia. There's two different kinds. There's pulmonary atresia with VSD, which just means that there's an extra hole between the bottom ventricles that helps blood flow a little better. So that's the best case scenario if you have pulmonary atresia. Cohen has intact ventricular septum. So the wall between the bottom two atriums is actually there. So blood could not flow. It was just stuck. So that's what she has, the wall there. And that's what she has. It's pulmonary atresia with intact ventricular septum. And then all the other kind of things that pulmonary artery that didn't form, the tricuspid valve. She's got an enlarged aorta at the top part of your aorta.
So when they gave you these diagnoses, did they say like, hey, we can fix a few of these things, or?
Well, I mean, doctors can fix anything. They really can. Science is just simply amazing. They can fix anything, whether or not it's going to work or whether or not it's going to last. You know, we don't know. There has been so much advancement in CHD, which is, you know, what it's called. It's unbelievable. You know, prior to the 80s, they did tell us, you know, whenever we went in blind, obviously. I didn't know anything about it. I know someone whose daughter has a severe case of CHD. And I actually, the more I looked around, once I learned of Cohen's diagnosis, I realized that multiple people that I know have kids that have heart defects that have had surgery or, you know, be it minimal or a big issue, you know. We went in blind for sure, and they just said that prior to the 80s, people passed off babies that would die, you know, a few days old as SIDS, because that's the only explanation they had was, oh, you know, it was SIDS. Well, you have valves that close. So when you're in utero, your heart pumps differently than it does when you're born.
Right.
So a few days after you're born, you have valves that close. These babies, these valves cannot close on these babies. If they close, then they die because their blood flow is not the way it needs to be. So like when Cohen was first born, they had her on all kind of medicine to help the, you know, help her valves stay open and help her heart pump correctly. So these babies that are not diagnosed with CHD and pass away, you know, nobody knew because there was no advancement in this. Nobody even knew what this was. And to know the progression that has been made in this is just, it's just simply amazing. I think the oldest lady I have found on Facebook with similarities to Cohen is in her 50s. So if that says anything, I mean, this type of advancement in CHD is new, you know.
Right.
I say new, but I mean, new enough.
It's pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. It's a really neat thing. I don't know if anyone has time on their hands to study it, but.
So let me ask you this. Do we know, like, what are the stats for kids that are born with CHD, congenital heart defect, like out of the number of children born in the U.S., do we know?
One in 100.
Wow. And is it just typically like a chromosomal thing, or is it typically?
Cohen's is not. It can be. It can be genetic, or it can be environmental. Okay. It could be a fluke. You know, there's not enough research to have these answers yet. We did do genetic testing, which unfortunately our insurance didn't cover it. But we just wanted to know because we don't I want another child. My husband is like, okay, we have enough. These two are wild. So I wanted to know, you know, is this genetic? Because if it was, then, you know, definitely no more children, because I can't go through this again.
Absolutely.
You know, I know it's not about me, but I just can't. So, anyways, we got genetic testing. She is not, her situation is not genetic. So then we have all the other list of reasons as to why it could have happened. They do say that, men being exposed to chemicals, can lead to the problem. Well, my husband's a farmer. So I doubt that's the reasoning. You know, there's so many reasons as to why something can happen.
It truly could be anything.
So yeah, and I can't even try to pinpoint it, and I really don't care. You know, I mean, we take it one day at a time in our house. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. She's doing really well. We really don't even talk about it much, to be very honest with you. We're trying to enjoy her just being a baby. Unfortunately, she's 800 pounds. So it's really hard for me to enjoy the baby stage because she's just huge. I mean, she's half of my size. I'm little.
She's so stinking cute.
I can't rock her. I can't, you know, that's over. That ended at 6 months. I mean, she's just, you know,
she's about to have a birthday.
She is. Yeah. In March, she'll be a year old in March. It has been a heck of a year, with everything, but, very blessed.
What are the statistics for babies who make it to a year old? What are her chances?
I don't know. She's going to make it to a year old. Yeah. No, I mean,
no, of course. I know that.
Every case with CHD is so different. There are so many different types of heart conditions. She has what's a general term is called HRHS. There are obviously two terms, either the right side or the left side, HRHS or HLHS. HLHS is when the left side of your heart has, you know, the major complications like Cohen's. But it is the more, you know, unfortunately, it's the more fatal type. Cohen, HRHS is more rare, but, you know, kind of like the pulmonary atresia, the two kinds. If you could pick a kind, this is the better of the two to have. Because it's easier to fix. The right side of your heart doesn't do as much work as the left side of your heart. I really think, you know, all these babies, they have these surgeries, and they just, their hearts go until they can't anymore. I don't ever think that her heart will just stop working. It will be a gradual thing. And ultimately, you know, if anything ever does happen, it'll be gradual, and then it'll be heart failure, and then it'll be, you know, waiting on a heart transplant if that time ever comes. You know, we don't know. It's one of those things you just don't know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Tell me if you found out someone else was facing CHD for their baby, what would be your best advice for them moving forward?
Call me. I actually, oddly enough, at where I used to work, my phone rang one day and it was a lady. She said, "Hey, Lacey, this is so-and-so. I'm just wondering if you have a second." And of course, you know, I'll talk to anyone. And I said, you know, "Hey, what's up?" And she said, "Well, I just wanted to know if I could give my friend your number. She just found out that her little boy has a heart condition. And I just, you know, I don't even really know if she's up to talking about it yet, but, you know, I know you've been there. So will you speak with her?" Of course, you know, I gave her my phone number. I talked with her a lot at the very beginning. And I've spoken with her since her son has had his surgery. He's doing really well. They just had a brisket benefit for him, actually, for Super Bowl. And the brisket was amazing. The mom was really in shock. And I kind of feel like there's nothing anyone can say other than, "Hey, look, you know, God's got this." You can't really say what's meant to be will be, because that's so cliche and it's ridiculous. Be it good or be it bad.
And nobody wants to think about that at the time,
yeah,
right?
Be it good or be it bad. God will carry you through. And I tell myself that even today, because with this type of situation, you literally don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so if something does happen tomorrow, God will see us through. God will see me and my husband and, you know, the surviving family I don't want to think about those things. Right. No one does, but it's just a fact of the matter. You know, I mean, hell, I could die tomorrow in a car accident, you know, I mean, whatever, but you know, these are babies. These are people that haven't experienced a second of life. So it's really hard to put any words on it. I'm willing to speak with anyone, you know, and that's what I told her is that, you know, please call me anytime. Mainly people just want questions answered. You know, where do we go? How long is this going to take? What do I need to take to the hospital? Are we looking at months? Are we looking at weeks? You know, the best doctors. You know, there's just so many questions that moms want answered. Sometimes dads, but you know, moms are, you know, we're the ones that are, our wheels are constantly spinning, and we're the ones with 800 questions. So that's really all I have experienced women that, you know, whose babies, any medical condition on a newborn, we just want questions answered in the best care, you know? So yeah.
We're the managers. That's what we do.
Yeah, I guess. I try. But yeah, no, I mean, there's really no set of words that can help the situation. Just, you know, sharing our experience. You know, I can't say I open the Bible every day. I definitely do not. I do not go to church every Sunday. I don't pray every day. The biggest spiritual awakening I've ever had in my life was Cohen. And I still don't have the relationship with God that I need to. But he, I mean, every day it's so unexplainable. I was just okay with everything. You know, like I always was positive. I guess that's all you have. And that is one thing I would like for anyone who is having a baby or finds out that their baby is going to have medical problems. Positivity is all you have. Nothing else matters. Any negativity, stop it. Don't even entertain it. There were so many times where people are just
crazy.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, just things happen and you're just thinking, what in the hell is wrong with you? But don't let it get to you, you know, just move past it. Focus on what's in the walls of your home, and that will get you very far. Or in the walls of your hospital room, you know, I mean, it just, you can't worry about anybody else, in times like this. You just have to focus on your family.
I feel like, yes, of course, that is 100% true when you're faced with something like this, but I feel like that should just be the norm. And we should always focused on, I mean, of course there are bad things happen and, you know, you need to feel those emotions and move through them, but you know, you can't stay there, right? You gotta feel it and let it go. And then, like you said, concentrate and focus on the good, every single thing in your home and in your hospital room or in your office or, you know, just anywhere that you are, all the things that are good. Because when you're focused on the good, you can't be focused on the bad. You can't be focused on both at the same time.
We don't have time for it.
Yeah. Like it's just literally impossible. You can't do it.
I've had a few things happen recently where, let's just say the devil was after me and I just didn't entertain it. I mean, I do not have time to entertain anything that isn't positive, anything that isn't going to take me to the next step in my life. I don't have time for people that are not
all in,
fully functioning in my life. I mean, and I'm speaking family members, I'm speaking friends, not friends, but acquaintances. I don't have time for half-assed people. I don't. I'm not saying because I'm so extremely busy. I'm saying because I can do other things other than worry about you or try to meet up with you or try to speak with you or I just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I
totally agree. And, you know, focusing our time on the things that are going to move the needle or, you know, make our lives overall exponentially better is really the only thing that we should have time for. Because, you know, like we keep saying, you literally never know what the next moment is going to bring. So dwelling or focusing on anything other than the awesomeness of your life is pointless. And you're right. There's no time for that. There's literally no time for that. So I love that you said that. What is something that you wish you would have known going into either the business or into dealing with Cohen's heart diagnosis? Is there anything that you wish you would have known beforehand?
I mean, I have to say no to that. When things happen, I just handle it. I've always been that way. Bad things happen all the time. Don't get me wrong. I'm constantly dealing with crap. But when the crap comes, I just say, okay, hey, look, we're going to figure this out. And it might take me a few days. It might take me a few weeks, but, I figure it out. Many wrenches have been thrown and you know, that's fine. That's fine with me. It helps me grow, it helps me learn. Especially with insurance, there is not a day in my career where I don't learn something. It is a constant learning experience. I do not know everything. And I have been in the industry for years. I mean, over 15 years.
I think that's something else that people don't understand and don't know. I think they think that once you know insurance. But the thing is most insurance is based on what that particular company covers or their particular, their particular coverage.
Yeah, it's a household deal. I get people all the time. Well, my neighbor pays $800 and I pay $1,200. Well, you know, let's talk about why. You know, let's talk about why. There are so household to household is the way insurance operates. It is not a generic thing. Right. It is different for everyone. And, you know, if your neighbor pays $800 and you pay $1,200, then you need to figure out why, because most of the time that's due to your carrier that you have, the coverage you have, or your insurance score. If I do have any advice for anyone that is worried about insurance or is wondering if they pay too much, Credit Karma has an actual way to determine what your insurance score is. So you can look at your credit score, obviously, which it's never accurate there, which is fine, but whatever, you know, it helps you, it leads you in the right direction. They do have an insurance score part to their system. That's probably not accurate either, but it'll tell you what it is. And there are people I know with amazing credit, but they have a terrible insurance score. And then there's people I know with horrible credit that have a great insurance score. They're two different things. They're one and the same, but they're completely different. But if you're ever in the boat where, oh, my neighbor pays this and I pay this, find out why, because there's a reason.
And throw it out the window, because nothing is, there's never, it's never going to be the same.
Compare.
You never can. Yeah. And I think people too just don't understand that each carrier also is different and covers different things and, you know, has different ratings and different, there's just everything is so variable when it comes to insurance, and things change all the time with carriers, or, you know, maybe they're covering the zip code this week, but next week they're not. And so now we've got to go back to the drawing board and find you a carrier that's also going to cover your, you know, 15-year-old roof or whatever. And people just don't understand that it is really hard to keep up with all the requirements of especially as an independent agent, of all the different carriers, you know,
when there's other agents out there that sell terrible HOA bare bones policies, and then they come to you and they're like, hey, can you shop this for me? I'm like, no,
I can't. Like, you don't have coverage. You're literally paying for nothing.
Like, what is this? I can't explain to you. And then there's agents that put you in the wrong PPC code, which PPC code is your relation to a fire department. You're a 10, but your agent has you as a 4. Well, of course, your premium's going to be less expensive there, but I can't do that because it's unethical, and right. I just don't operate that way. I'm sorry. You can stay with your current agent.
And guess what? Burns down, they're not going to cover it anyway.
Well, they might, but, you know, it's going to be a battle, and it's also not going to be my problem. That's another thing I don't have time for.
Okay, so I am so glad that you came on today and we got to talk about these things. We're going to do a quick rapid fire. Tell me about a book, article, or person that changed your life.
My grandma, Mary Ann Grayless. She has always been there for me. When I was little, she would take me to all of my extracurricular activities. One day, when I worked at Grayless Insurance, we always did gift exchanges, and Hobby Lobby had this little plaque that said yes on it. And I bought it for her because I always joke with her. She could never say no to anyone. and she should have said no to so many people so many times, but she doesn't know how to use that word. So I always joke with her, you know, yes. I could go on forever. She definitely has been the most influential person in my lifetime. Love her endlessly. Person, book. I have 50,000 that I need to read. I don't have the time to read, unfortunately.
I have a lot of shelf esteem myself.
Yeah, my friends have sent me so many inserts of passages paragraphs and some books that they're reading. So I will just say that in the last year, whoever has sent me a paragraph from the book they're reading, that has been an inspiration to me. Thank you.
That's cool.
I'll read it in a text message, but I won't sit down and read a book. Person, and then everybody is a learning experience to me. Everybody that is in my life, be it friend, family, or foe, they have taught me something. I have learned from them. I am not perfect. I continue to grow every day. There are a lot of people out there who probably think that I'm perfect, but newsflash, I don't. I know I'm not perfect. I know I have a lot to learn. I grow every day. I'm not the same person I was yesterday, which I always see that meme on Facebook, but it's really true.
It is.
I am definitely not the same person I was yesterday. I have been through so much that has changed me, and that's okay with me. Some of it has sucked. Some of it has been wonderful. I am okay. I'm good.
Yeah. Tell me about your favorite Friday night at home.
I don't have one. I want to go eat Mexican food and have a margarita. I don't want to be at home on a Friday night. On a Sunday, barbecuing ribs. My husband makes some amazing ribs. Having my kids play, not saying mommy, mommy, mommy. Just my kids playing, me relaxing, my husband barbecuing his ribs and doing nothing. That's my favorite. I can't say sitting home on Friday is my thing. I've never been one to do that.
I love that. Yes. So where are we meeting on Friday? I'm just kidding. Tell me about what was your dream job as a kid?
Brain surgeon.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but yeah, I definitely never got there.
That's so cool. I love that. So what is your best advice to help our listeners live with audacity?
Don't give a damn what anybody else thinks.
Ooh, yes. That is so good.
Is that good?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
sorry for the D word. But it's true. I mean, you can't. I lived my life for so long caring about what other people thought of me. And I mean, through mistakes or through great things or through whatever it may be. And that is so ridiculous. You can't.
Yeah. I always say that people are going to talk about you no matter what. So just do what you want to do anyway, because you can try your dangdest to, you know, do things that, you know, this person might agree with or that person might agree with. But guess what? Just on the other side of that is someone else that doesn't agree with that. So you're never going to please everyone. And just do you, man. Like, you'll feel so much better about yourself if you just do what you want to do.
Yep.
So where can people find more information about you and Cohen and all the things?
Well, I'm not that interesting. My job is interesting and my kids are interesting, but I'm not. Cohen has a Facebook page. It's Cohen's Crew, Koen and then Krew. You can follow all of her greatness there. My business is called Superior Choice Insurance Agency, and my website is www.scinstx.com. I'm on Facebook, Lacey Kramer. My business has a Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/LaceyInsuresTexas. That's it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming. I'm so happy that we got to talk about all these things. I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a little while, and I know that Cohen's story is definitely going to help somebody understand that it's going to be okay, and no matter what, and and that there's lots of information out there and people that want to talk to you and help you and at the very minimum, at least commiserate with you and just understand that, you know, you're all in this together. So thank you so much for being here.
Nobody should truly be your enemy. You may think that they are, but, you know, to me, the world has none. And that's, you know, reach out to anyone. Anyone that can help you or you think they can help you, be it, you may not know them, you may have hated them, you may have, you know, just let's all get along. You know, you don't have to like each other, but if you ever need to speak with someone, please do. You'll be really surprised how much somebody can truly help you spiritually, emotionally, all of the above. You know, just be a good person. Be good, do good. My mother-in-law always says, be sweet. My husband's grandpa, that was his signature saying. So that's what I tell everybody.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much again.
Thanks for having me. And oh yeah, I do need, before we end, if I don't mention my mom, she's going to be upset. Thank you, Mom, for watching the kids every day for me so I can get my job done.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I don't know what I would do without her. She keeps my kids every day. And if not for her, I'd be stuck.
But, yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, y'all. I had to jump in here real quick because I need a favor. If you are loving the Live with Audacity podcast, I need you to do me a big, solid favor and share it with your friends, share it on social media, and go to the Apple iTunes link and click subscribe, rate it, review it. I need to know your feedback. And I want to keep putting this out for you, so I really need your help to get the message out. Thank you so, so much for your loyalty and your super kind and sweet words. They mean so terribly much to me.